It's Sunday morning. I'm Murphy Houston. It's time for Mile High Magazine. We're so glad you are here. And joining us this Sunday morning is Dr. Kim Nordstrom, the Chief Medical Officer for Rocky Mountain Health Plans. She also continues as Medical Director of Signal Behavioral Health and Emergency Psychiatrist at Colorado Hospital. And she's allowed me to call her Kim, and I think that's kind of a good way to have a conversation. And Kim, it looks like you're pretty busy with all these titles you have.
Yeah, I do tend to be busy, especially, you know, now more than ever with youth and adult mental health issues.
And that's what we're going to talk about today, because it is such a hot topic. Everybody talks about it. Everybody's concerned. So let's get right to the part that people need to hear immediately. What is the current state of mental health in children in our country, Colorado in particular?
Right. Well, there's been recent research that revealed the significant percentage of adolescents have experienced a decline in emotional and cognitive health over the past decade, with increased rates of mental health challenges. Now, that's not that surprising. If you think about the last decade,
right?
The rise of social media. Now, I'm not saying that social media is all bad, but it has had a profound effect on our youth. The concept of climate change has affected many, leading to a demoralized and fatalistic feel for some. You know, what's my future going to be like if the earth is going to be in a bad place?
Good point.
How about this?
Yeah.
School shootings.
Oh,
right?
Horrible.
What did you do when you were in school? What kind of drills did you have? You had fire drills.
That's fire drills. And I'm probably older than you, Kim, but we used to have to get under our desk if we thought we were going to have an atomic bomb hit our neighborhood.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, atomic bomb.
Yeah.
Right. And, this is probably akin to that in terms of the fear associated. They have school shooting drills, active shooting drills, lock-ins, lockouts.
Right.
And then, the opioid crisis. So we had a lot of different pieces that were happening. I think of it as a storm that's been brewing over the last decade. And this is their formative years. When
yes.
you're talking about young people, this is what's ridiculous is this is their normal.
Well, and I think that COVID probably didn't help.
Oh, no. So you have this normal that is ridiculous, right? This normal that we look at and we imagine things were already pretty bad for our youth. And then you throw on the pandemic.
Yeah.
You have the associated isolation. If isolation was hard for adults, imagine what it was like for young people.
Exactly.
Deaths in their family, friends, family, the fear of death.
Yeah.
And this last piece tends to be discounted. People don't really understand how much this affected youth, but the missed celebrations.
Oh,
no
good
prom,
point. Good point.
Right?
No
graduation. Not having that first experience of driving off to college, right?
Yeah.
We saw it on TV. Their graduation was across the screen on whatever app the school was using.
Right.
Very different, and there's the effects of that, not having those important milestones. So that's the background. That's the backdrop.
Right. And that's a mental health that affects young people that are, teenagers, young adults that are in college. Parents should know this information because they don't know. They probably see it, but they don't understand. Is that true?
Right. It's totally true. And in fact, 70% of teens believe that anxiety and depression are a major problem among peers.
Right.
70% of that age group. And I think it's most important to focus on this particular age group for colleges to lean in, for parents to lean in, community to lean in, because among those diagnosed with a mental health disorder, 75% will have had their first episode by the age of 24.
Wow. That's young. That's awful young.
That is really young. That's why it's so important to focus on this age group. And some stark statistics. Suicide is the third leading cause of death for college students.
Wow. Didn't read that.
Yeah. No. And in fact, in 2021, that was the most recently published year for the Colorado Public Health and Environment Statistics.
Yeah.
182 young people aged 15 to 24 died by suicide here in Colorado.
In Colorado?
182. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Right.
Now, are you getting some of these? I know you did a survey, and are some of these data points you're presenting now are things you found there? If not, what did you find interesting? What did you find concerning? Because it must have been a pretty extensive survey.
Right. Yeah. So far, what I've been talking about are other national surveys. The United Healthcare, so I'm with Rocky Mountain Health Plans, which is part of United Healthcare.
Right.
And an extensive survey was done. So United Healthcare commissioned it, but it was conducted by YouGov. And it was the College Student Behavioral Health Report, which surveyed a sample of 1,034 people, of whom 506 were college students and 528 were parents of the college students.
Uh-huh.
And it is remarkable what we found. I guess it's not all that surprising when you stop to think of it, but when I looked at the study, I was floored by the discordant perceptions, right? The fact that the college students were in one place in terms of their mental health and their parents did not see it at all.
Wow.
So one example is parents who were surveyed were two times more likely to report that their child did not experience a behavioral health concern in the past year. Two times more likely to think they didn't have a mental health concern when in fact the kiddos did.
Huh.
And then similarly, 73% of parents said their students didn't seek help because they didn't need it, compared to the students, who 49% said they didn't need it. So again, there's these very different perceptions. And so when parents don't realize that their kiddos are suffering, they're probably not bringing it up. They're probably not helping them find services.
And the students aren't trying to find services either if they think they have the problem, are they?
Right. Well, there's a couple of reasons for that. And that was also looked at in the survey. And the students self-reported that they didn't seek help for reasons that point to perceptions around cost, difficulty in getting appointments, or lack of knowledge about where to access resources.
Hmm. You would think, and maybe this is something that needs to be done, that colleges, since we're talking about college students, or maybe even high school students, but in particular college students, that these universities and colleges might have help right there on campus with these students. If they didn't want their parents to know they're suffering, they could keep it to themselves and go to get help right on the campus. But that doesn't happen, apparently.
Yeah, well, I mean, it does for some. So yeah. I don't want to make it seem like it's not happening. But there are services on campuses. And, you know, I always suggest that young people go to the student health center, because the student health center will take you and help you find the path that either they can offer on campus or off of campus. They'll, you know, if you have insurance, they can explain some of those things to you in terms of your provider network and all of that. But campuses have student health centers.
Yes, they do. And they should probably take advantage of that, I would think.
Right.
For
right.
sure.
And in fact, some campuses offer other types of services too. There's some, so depending on the campus, some have a program called Counseling and Psychologic Services, so the CAPS program. Some have Student Assistance Program that offer 24/7 crisis support, things like that.
Right.
College students here in Colorado, the state itself has a crisis support throughout the state, crisis stabilization units, walk-in clinics, that kind of thing. So you can get services either on or off campus.
Well, that's all out there. We're talking with Dr. Kim Nordstrom, who's the Chief Medical Officer for Rocky Mountain Health Plans. And we did mention and touched on social media for teens and for college-age students. Does that really affect them? I'm hearing more and more about the mental health situation with that. In fact, there's some campaign out there now that these kids ought to step out for 30 days and not, and maybe everybody should, not do any social media. Do you have information on that?
Well, you know, I was recently part of a town hall in Boulder where one of the panelists is just recently graduated high school. I think she's going into her first or second year of college. And she put a different perspective, because I would say, yes, get away from that social media. Because when people see me, I see people on their very worst days. I'm an emergency psychiatrist. I work in the ED. If you see me, you've tried to end your life, right? So I tend to see, unfortunately, the bad in terms of social media. But she pointed out, you know, social media definitely has that. And it is really, been a part of destroying some people's lives with the anonymous bullying, things like that. But she also said for some people, they're able to get support through their social media, through being a part of certain groups found on social media. And so, that did give me pause. And so now I try to have a more balanced approach when I talk about social media. It's really figuring out what's going on with your kiddo and, you know, what things are negatively influencing, what things are positively, and trying to help, decrease those negative influences. And for some, that's going to be social media, yes. And 30 days away probably is a very good thing.
Well, yes. For all of us maybe, huh?
Yeah, right.
So
right.
What can you tell parents out there that are listening now? Because you're referring to their children, be they college, be they high school. What do they need to know? What can they be looking for in their child that just doesn't seem right to me?
Well, I think the first thing is just lean in. So even if you don't think you're seeing anything at all, ask. It doesn't hurt to ask. And you don't have to go right at it with, do you have depression, right?
Yeah,
how are you doing? You don't look quite as happy as you have. How is school going? What's going on in your life? And you just keep engaging over and over again. And, I'm a parent of a teenager, and that's in my tool belt. Because he may or may not, how are you doing today? Fine.
Yeah.
No, it's not going to end there.
Oh, boy.
I'm not going to allow it to end there, right?
Yeah.
And the other piece is that depression, a person doesn't actually have to have depressed mood to have depression. And that's really confusing. So an example would be the person who's just not enjoying things.
Yeah.
So maybe he or she doesn't feel frankly sad, but isn't engaging in activities that, he or she would normally be engaging in, or goes through the motions, but isn't enjoying that. That's the other side to depression. You could have either of those plus a cluster of other symptoms, like
absolutely
not being able to sleep well and eating differently and energy decrease, things like that. Yeah.
So I know you're part of, you mentioned earlier, United Healthcare. What are they doing to help support its members with mental health needs?
Right. Well, they're here. One of the largest insurers, they tend to be quite in this space, either through college students being on their parents' plans, so an employee-type plan, or through what are called student health insurance programs.
Right.
So
right.
Particular types of benefits for kids who are in college. And these offer the same things that would be on a parent insurance, because a lot of this is, you have the ACA, commonly called Obamacare. There's very specific aspects of mental health and substance use disorder help that you'll find across plans. But the positive with student health insurance program is that they tend to be tailored to what's available on your campus and what's available locally, because these are small plans, that are more specific.
Right.
Yep.
Well, it's all good news, Dr. Kim Nordstrom. Keep up the good work. Very interesting. I wish we had more time to dig into it, because it is a definite problem out there, and you seem to be right on top of it. Congratulations for that.
Well, thank you, and thanks for having me.
You bet. And thank you guys for listening. It is Mile High Magazine. I don't go away. I'll be right back. Murphy, Houston, more of Mile High Magazine coming up.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.